Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We've been talking about what happened in Yisrael, where it appears that the deaths of two Palestinian boys who were throwing rocks at Israelis were staged, and that CNN is playing along and being played for a fool in the staging of events. The Israelis say that there was no live ammunition that was fired that day, even though that the riots were very significant. We only see a small portion of them in the tape. And then we transitioned into, you know, what in the world is the Roman Catholic Pope doing? And he is overwhelmingly, all of his aides and handlers are overwhelmingly attempting to condemn Israel, to condemn Jews, and to protest on behalf of the mythical people known as the Palestinians, who are the very Muslims that are killing Catholics around the world. So we've been trying to ascertain the sense in all of that. Glenn, you called in earlier in the program, and I did my best to make the stack work to bring you up live, and it just didn't work. So I tried. And we still, by the way, have Jason with us as well. So we have both of you. But I owe you an apology, Glenn.
No, that's all right. Thank you. Is IQ on as well? Or?
No, IQ has left.
I'll touch on what you just mentioned about the Pope. I personally assume that the Pope or whoever is occupying the papacy at the time will be instrumental in any treaty process that ends up narrowing Israel and ends up, you know, for peace deal that's going to...
I am absolutely certain that the Vatican will come down on behalf of the Muslims, trying to increase its influence in the Islamic world, and they have always been and they will forever be anti-Jewish.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're going to turn the Temple Mount and possibly all of Jerusalem into, like, you know, an international Disney World, you know, in multi.
I don't know if they're going to do that. And the reason I don't know is that Muslims, while Islam has a lock grip on the Temple Mount, which they do currently.
Jordan in the box.
Yeah, because of Moshe Dayan, they were given the Temple Mount, which was just unbelievably stupid. And of course, they're completely hypocritical. You know, where they claim that the Jews are oppressing them. They don't allow anyone other than a Muslim on the Temple Mount. And so, while they exist in large numbers and are armed to the teeth and enraged beyond reason, they're not going to allow anybody but a Muslim and the mosque and the shrine on there. But we're going to see before very long, starting probably in 2027, the Magog War, which we have covered in considerable detail. And at that time, Muslims are annihilated not by the Jewish Defense Forces. It's not going to be a couple of rubber bullets.
Yahweh himself.
Yeah. It's Yahweh himself. And at that point, the Torahless one that Christians think is the Antichrist, who is actually going to model himself almost identical to Paul, so it'll be very confusing for Christians, I'm sure he is going to try to establish a fun zone in Israel, because his goal is to absolutely impose, as did Rome. You know, Rome back all the way into Hadrian's era and others, but Rome, starting about 60 CE, outlawed the Torah. Outlawed the Torah's calendar, outlawed the Shabbat, outlawed circumcision, and they further outlawed it again in 135. So, he's going to reinforce all those laws to make certain that no one can be Torah observant.
Well, yeah, but as to the Temple Mount, this is just sort of an aside, I guess, too. I personally don't. Some people believe that the Mosque of Omar, or the Dome of the Rock, has to be demolished in order to.
Yeah, I don't agree either.
I don't agree. I favor the tablet, the dome of the tablet site, which would allow for everything to happen up there at once. But
I don't think you know. There's a lot of evangelical Christians and Messianic Jews that think that the temple has to be rebuilt before the Messiah can return. But there's a couple of things that are interesting. It's actually not Yahusha that's returning. It's not a diminished manifestation. It's Yahweh who's returning. And he is going to build his own temple, and it's not going to be in the same site as the old one was. So I don't see the Dome of the Rock coming down. It could well be obliterated. I mean, when Yahweh returns, it will be obliterated. But I'm not so certain there's going to be a temple built by man.
I don't want to go too far afield on that. The reason I originally called. You were talking about how many people have been killed recently.
Yeah.
Just
the last 2 days. Yeah, just the last 2 days.
Which, you know, I was thinking, when you look at the violence and you know them by their fruits and that sort of thing, it makes what's really far more important is God whom one seeks and the book one follows are far more important than the genetics of the blood that flows in one's veins.
Correct.
And this is why, you know, I personally bristle at all these problems with the word Semitic and anti-Semitic, because they muddy the waters like crazy. I think anti-Judaism is far more descriptive of what people are trying to get across, but people are actually afraid to utter the word Jew.
I want to take exception with you here, in the sense that I don't like anti-Semitic and I don't like anti-Jewish, and I don't even like anti-Judaism, even though it is true that Rome became opposed to Judaism. Rome was also opposed to the Torah, and we can never, we should never associate the Torah with Judaism.
I agree. Yeah, they're not taking exception.
An example. Yeah. They were opposed to what they called the Hebrew calendar. Well, the Hebrew calendar is Yahweh's calendar, and so they were opposed to the seven Moed Mikre. They were opposed to the Shabbat. The Shabbat is not the Jewish Sabbath. It is it's the seventh day, and it's Yahweh's. And so we have an issue when we say that. Rome and the church that grew out of Rome, Christianity, is anti-Semitic. There's an issue there. There's an issue if we say anti-Jewish. There's an issue if we say anti-Judaism.
And it gets further muddied with the races. I mean, in Israel, the Ashkenazis are, you know, well, the Sephardis and the Mizrahis are second-class citizens next to the Ashkenazis right now. The Ethiopian Jews are often coined about their third-class citizen status. So, you know, as you have these racial distinctions within Israel itself, you have the problem that many Palestinians have more Davidic blood in their veins than do many Ashkenazis. And if Ashkenazis are descendants of Ashkenaz, then they're descendants of Japheth, not Shem. So this gets phenomenally muddy, and it really messes things up.
It is. But that is the nature of really all things, is that man muddies things up. I'm absolutely convinced that Yahweh will use DNA to ascertain who is a descendant of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And during the millennial Shabbat, it will be meaningful again to be a racial descendant of Abraham, Yishak, and Jacob. And you will be, start reading and observing and acting upon the Torah and engage in its covenant prior to Yahweh's return on the Day of Reconciliations in 2033, then you will have the opportunity to settle in the community, in the area that Yahweh assigned your particular tribe. So I do think there is going to be an unmeddling of it for the 1,000-year celebration of Sukkah. And after that time, I'm not sure it's ever going to matter again if you are adopted as a goyim into the covenant or you're naturally born.
It's immaterial to me, because the important thing is that you live eternally in his presence. So
that's correct.
A beloved adopted child is fine with me. I don't care.
I go back and forth on this, Glenn, and that is that that there are times where I say, you know, it would be nice to be a racial descendant of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And there are times when I'm glad that I'm an adopted Goyim. And the reason happens to be that in eternity it's not going to matter. It only matters of going forward now. It only matters for a period of about 1,000 years, because during the millennial Shabbat there is going to be a reconciliation with native born Yehuda and with Yisrael, and that they are going to be assigned specific duties during the millennial Shabbat. Now, I don't want any of those duties. I mean, I'm really liking this situation of no responsibility, you know, nothing but opportunity, no responsibility. And so I'm kind of glad that as a Goyim, I'm going to spend the millennial Shabbat off having a real good time exploring the universe. But, and this is our last opportunity to explore the existing universe, because he's going to create a new one for us to explore after the celebration of the millennial Shabbat. So, right. So there's advantages and disadvantages both ways. Personally, I'm more than comfortable, as you are, being adopted into the family.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, that is in my own mind. It's like I said, you know, just the idea of being in Yahweh's presence. That's I don't care. It just doesn't factor in. You know, for me, and really, when you get right down to it, what do most people worry about? You know, psychic and physical pleasure and pain. You're either unconscious or you're conscious. If you're conscious, you're either happy or unhappy or in pain or comfortable. And that's the thing, you know, it's like you're not going to Sheol. Well, then you're going to, it's pain or pleasure, really. It's, you know.
Right.
So that's all that matters to most people.
Right.
But and just one last aside.
Yes.
Taking bodies out of a morgue and putting them in an empty building to be blown up is definitely, I'm not disagreeing, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it is undeniably a conspiracy theory, because it took more than one person acting together wickedly to make that happen.
Clearly. I mean, there are lots of people who are conspiring. Lots of people who are conspiring. The current occupant in the White House is conspiring. To when he came up with the silly notion that a film caused a Benghazi attack, a Christian film, as opposed to Ansar Sharia, he was conspiring to mislead. So, I would agree. There's lots of conspiracies that are being perpetrated. Welcome back to Shattering Myths as I look at the stories of the day, just to conclude the recap of what occurred in the occupied portions of Israel, not occupied by Jews, unfortunately, occupied by Muslims. The IDF has announced that they did not shoot any live ammunition during that day. And so they're saying, we're happy to investigate it. We'll do an autopsy of the boys, and we will try to recreate the crime scene and come up with, based upon the film and the autopsy, from what angle that they were shot, if indeed they were shot. But the Muslims don't want to give up the bodies, maybe because they're still animated. The U.S. State Department has published a list of the most abusive countries to live in relative to religious rights. And it's interesting to read this, because they've tried to do their level best to create an impression of a level playing field, that it isn't all Islam. But the fact of the matter is, in the 50 Islamic majority countries, being anything but a Muslim, and even being the empowered sect of Muslim, renders the individual either a second-class citizen. In fact, I can't say second-class citizen, because they're not citizens. An individual treated about at the same level as a domesticated animal, or someone who is there to be robbed, abused, and killed. the State Department did come up with some other countries that aren't purely Islamic. Burma, they said, is where the government and the religion are unified. They are it's Buddhist. Now, you would think that a Buddhist government would be a bit tolerant, wouldn't you? I mean, isn't that the whole concept of Buddhism? But nonetheless, according to the U.S. State Department, if you are not a Buddhist in Burma, then you are going to be harassed. The second, they said, is in China. And it's because of the fact that the Chinese are jailing Uyghur Muslims. Well, the Uyghur Muslims are killing enormous numbers of non-Muslims. They recently had the stabbing in the police station. They have bombed buses. Just this last 12 months, there have been 3 massive terrorist attacks promoted by those Muslims. So if you think that the State Department thinks that it's unfair for the Chinese to be holding the Muslims accountable, then what is the U.S. doing with its drones and killing thousands of Muslims around the world? They listen, Uretha as one of the nations. And the thing that they say here is that is amazing is that if you're not an Orthodox Christian, which would be from the Eastern Orthodox Church, a Roman Catholic, which essentially the same religion, a Sunni Muslim or a Lutheran, which is Roman Catholicism light. It's actually the derivative of the Anglican version of Roman Catholicism. So you can be any one of the 3 more popular strains of Christianity or a Muslim, and you're just fine. They put Uretha on the list, I guess, to say that if you're if you are an animist and you're practicing voodoo, that you're in trouble. But, oh, my goodness, if you're going to accept that many diverse religions, why would the State Department put them on their list unless they are seeking to create the impression that it's not all Islam? Well, Iran is obviously on the list, and in Islam, in Iran, you can be a Shiite Muslim, which the majority are, or you can be dead. Those are your options in Iran. But the United States wants to negotiate with them and help them along in their nuclear ambitions. Saudi Arabia, which is our foremost ally, allegedly, in our war against terrorism. And it reads here, the oil-rich monarchy doesn't even pretend to respect religious rights for any other faith but Islam. And what they forgot here is Sunni Islam. It is truly amazing that the United States would have a conniption fit over the behavior of China, and yet partner with and put our arms around and sell billions of dollars worth of aid and weapons to Saudi Arabia. I mean, we have all manner of restrictions now on Russia that has absolutely no religious persecution at all. There's been a revival of the Russian Orthodox Church, which is part of the Eastern Orthodox Church. They have a better relationship with the Muslim population than exists in the United States. Those that pursue terrorism, I mean, they are aggressively dealt with. But you look at in Russia, and then you look at China, and I understand that China has had a history of religious persecution, but it's fairly minor now, and most of it is directed towards the Muslim terrorists. And yet, in a place like Saudi Arabia, which is revolting religious intolerance, where the ruling family routinely abuses burns, mutilates their servants, where they are the principal indoctrinator of young Muslim terrorists the world over. And yet, we pretend like they're puritanical. They won't even let a woman walk out of her house without a male escort. And yet, we sell them hundreds of billions of dollars worth of our most sophisticated weapons. So anything that the State Department puts out, from my point of view, is absolute rubbish. They have this wonderful relationship with countries that are absolutely ruthless. Now, they talk about the Sudan being religiously intolerant. You know, where was the State Department 25 years ago when Arab Muslims in Khartoum started their genocide and killed 2.5 million African Christians and animists? Where were they then? So it is truly astonishing, the hypocrisy of the United States. You look at this list of their top countries, don't even include Somalia. They do have Uzbekistan in this list. It is just a crime that they don't list countries also like Turkey or Egypt. I mean, consider the plight of the Copt Christians in Egypt. We have a tremendous problem in America, particularly at the government level, with grotesque hypocrisy. There's a story, and I mentioned this ever so briefly, but CNN has buried a story, but they were at least willing to report it. It's I don't even know if you can find it now. But a Filipino man is sharing stories, photos of his daughter. His daughter went to work for a Saudi Arabian family. He is the cousin of the victim, the person that has showing these photos. This woman has burns all over her back, her arms, and her legs. When she was in this household as a servant to the Saudi Arabians, who don't work, they use the OPEC fortune to hire others to work, but they treat those who work for them in a wholly inhuman way. In this particular case, she did not deliver the coffee as quickly as the scumbag woman who had married into the scumbag royal family quickly enough. And so the little princess in Saudi Arabia took the boiling water and slowly poured all of the boiling water over this woman, burning her, third-degree burns all over her back, her arms, and her legs. And then for 2 days, she wouldn't even let the woman get treatment for her burns. Finally, she went to the hospital and is now in a... the only reason that the story is even known, she's in the Philippine embassy in Saudi Arabia, so the pictures could be taken of her. She is a 22-year-old woman, and she says that the moment that she arrived in Saudi Arabia, they began abusing her, and that this it was common for the employer to pour boiling, scalding water on her, and for abusing her verbally, but she was also starved. She said that even when their meal was over and she would take the uneaten food back to the kitchen wanting to eat it, if she was shown eating the food that was taken back to the kitchen to be thrown away, she would be beaten. These folks that run Saudi Arabia as a personal fiefdom are revolting. Now, they are the most fundamentalist Muslims in terms of a fundamentalist Islamic government on the planet. This woman, for example, she said that within days of her arrival, they lashed her. They lashed her. They lashed her, and then after whipping her with a lash, they starved her almost to the point of death after confiscating her passport so she could not leave. It's a horrible situation. And all of you advocates out there of women's liberation that are unwilling to speak out against Islam on behalf of these girls, or the just revolting individual that is known as Pope Francis, meeting with Muslims, praying with Muslims, trying to raise the prospects of Muslims so that Muslims can take over Israel. This is what you're bringing on the world, this kind of treatment of women. This is the true face of Islam. That's why I find the Roman Catholic Church so perverted. In Nigeria today, another 25 people were killed in a village in the northeastern part of the country. The gunmen burned the entire village down. They burned every home. They stole all of the food during the nighttime attack. That came a day after a double bombing killed 122 in a nearby city of Jos. Two other villages were raided in northeast Nigeria last night as well, killing an additional 27. 175 people murdered by Boko Haram, all innocent civilians, just in the last 2 days. Where's the Muslim guy? Where is the outcry? You know, the Muslims kidnapped 275 girls. And, you know, you have the First Lady of the United States hold up a little sign, you know, bring back our girls. And yet, nobody says a word when they kill 175 in the last 2 days. The problem here for the West, for the Obamas of the world, for the media, is that Boko Haram has absolutely no connections to Al-Qaeda. So they can't say this is an Al-Qaeda organization. They have none. No contact whatsoever. And everything that Boko Haram says comes right out of the Quran. So they can't deny that it is an Islamic organization operating in concert with the Quran and Muhammad's example in the Hadith. They know for certain that the purpose of Boko Haram is to impose Sharia law. So they know that it is a fundamentalist Islamic organization that is engaged in kidnap, rape, torture, arson, mass murder, and worse. And so the President of the United States can't talk about it because it makes his whole war on terrorism and his war against Al-Qaeda a complete fraud. Justice Department can't talk about it because it means everything they've said in the last dozen years a complete lie. The media can't talk about it because they're like the Pope. They want to embrace Islam. No, this is a real problem for the world because you're getting to see what Islam is like when you see a fundamentalist Muslim organization wreak havoc on a community like these Muslims are doing every night, night in and night out. I mentioned this with IQ Al-Rasuli briefly, but 24 Shia Muslim pilgrims were killed in a set of three bombings in the Iraq capital, Baghdad. Today, the suicide bombers specifically targeted the pilgrims, walking along the roads with them. The suicide bombers, which would have been Sunni Muslims, all dressed in the black burqas of the women. You know how women are demeaned in Islam, having to wear the tents? Well, the suicide bombers were all men. wearing the burqa of the women, got up in the middle of the processions, and then detonated themselves. Many of the victims, in fact, 7 children under the age of 14, were mutilated and murdered by the religion of Islam. Somewhere along the way, someone's going to make the connection between all of these horrible acts and Islam, as it was lived by Muhammad, as it is featured in the Quran, as it is delineated in the Hadith, as it is manifest in Sharia. Some days, people in major universities and the media will stop listening to the likes of liars like the Muslim guy and will actually do their job, and they'll pick up a copy of the Quran, they'll pick up a copy of the Hadith, they will read it, and they will realize that the Muslims have not corrupted their religion, that these Islamic terrorists have been corrupted by their religion. And there, somewhere along the line, there may be one moral individual somewhere in Western politics or in the Western media counting on you. One. It's not too much to ask. The other story that we referred to briefly is that China has once again been rocked by violent attacks, these also by Muslims. They're in the Xinjiang region of China. It's a large region, by the way. It's not much different in size, I would think, than the country of Iran. Tens of millions of people. I think today it's about half Han Chinese and about half Asian Muslims. In this particular incident, the Muslims drove an SUV filled with explosives right into a an open market, and between the shrapnel and the flames and the explosion, they killed 31 people. They left later, took their own lives, which probably did the world a service. But you, somewhere along the way again, there's lots of racial minorities, religious minorities in countries. Heck, I'm a, by not being religious, I'm a religious minority in America. You know, I don't like the fact that there are churches on every corner in my neighborhood. I don't like it. But and I don't like the fact that my media and my political leaders are all embracing socialist humanism. I don't care for it. But, you know, I'm not violent. I'm not driving my car filled with explosives into public marketplaces. Not only not doing it, saying it's stupid to do. You know, what is it about Muslims that if you put them in a position of being a minority, even if the majority is a different flavor of Islam, Shia versus Sunni, that they express themselves by mutilating civilians, little children, and that they think they're doing a service to their God when they do so? Now, why is it that 99% of terrorist acts are perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims? No, you look at it, their behavior just in the last 6 months or so. Now, on last days of October in 2013, they plowed a Jeep into a crowd in Tiananmen Square and killed 5 people, mutilated 40. March 1st of this year, 29 people were killed and 130 were seriously injured when 10 men, 10 Muslims with long knives stormed into a train station. April 30th of this year, they blew up a railway station. They killed three people. 79 were wounded in that attack. Following the blast, they started hacking people with their knives. And then you have 36 people killed yesterday. When your expression of your religion is the murder and maiming of civilians, of women and children who are unarmed, there's something desperately wrong with you and your religion. When you think it is God's call for you to sacrifice your own life in a bomb for the express purpose of expressing your religion, you and your religion are evil. And, you know, the fact that 99.9% of the worst terrorist atrocities in the world today are perpetrated by Muslims tells us that there's a connection that only a fool would fail to make. We have Jason having called back from Toronto. Hello, Jason. Welcome.
Hi, Yada. Yeah, I was listening to you. It was a couple weeks ago when you were commenting on the Muslim guy.
Yes.
And how he's concealing Islam intentionally.
Yes, deliberately lying.
It just dawned on me that, although maybe... it dawned on me that, you know, these so-called modern Muslims that are acting out randomly, that, you know, they're essentially doing the same thing. They're letting people's guard down as far as to what Islam is.
Yeah, that it could well be. In fact, if you can hang on, I know we have the news at the top of the hour. We can talk about how deceptive Islam is. How it manages to indoctrinate, how it manages to inspire rage, why it is so deadly.